Welcome to Fellowship Community Church. What a blessing it has been. God has moved us in a few short weeks, and we have seen the miraculous. And it's only possible because God's behind this. And so as we start here at Hanover High School, I want to begin a series called Marks of a Healthy Church. Marks of a Healthy Church. And this first series message is called Faithfully Preaching the Word of God. Faithfully Preaching the Word of God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Father, you have been in this new work. You have blessed this. And Father, we are here to stand on the Word of God. We are making the Word of God the foundation of this church body. And so, Father, we thank you for the miraculous. We thank you for all that you have done, because it has only been done through you. So, Father, thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me set the stage for you here. The Apostle Paul is at the end of his life, the end of his earthly call, his earthly ministry, his call as an apostle. Part of his last thoughts, his last directives, are to Timothy, a young pastor. Timothy was placed in this very church by Paul because he was to serve as a defender of the faith. But know this, he was to serve as a defender of the faith in a place where sound doctrine and godliness had lost their position of importance. So if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now keep your finger there and also turn to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. But keep your mark there on 2 Timothy and go to John 21, verses 15 through 17. And it says this, So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said this a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Now, question number one there on your outline. What should be special about every preacher-teacher, including Timothy? What should be special about every preacher-teacher, including young Timothy, in verse 1? Now, here's what you see in 2 Timothy, that first one. It says this, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Paul's charge is a divine commissioning of service. Timothy was appointed by God, called by God. Now, when a man is called by God, it is going to be hard to turn away from the call because God's will be done. Now, I think of Peter in the verses that I read in John. Peter is called, But at Jesus' crucifixion, Peter denies Jesus. And hopeless and defeated, Peter returned to what he knew, which was fishing, only to have Jesus call him back to his divine calling with the command, "Feed my sheep." And you see that in John 21, 17. We see the importance of the divine call, the duty of the call, to feed the sheep, to preach the word. Now, because Peter was obedient to the divine call, he went on to preach at Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved, and the church started its mission. Question number two. What is the first thing Timothy or any other preacher or teacher is charged to do? And you see it there in verse 2. The charge is to preach the word. Preach the word. Paul didn't care about the size of Timothy's congregation or his successes. He cared about Timothy's spiritual life and was concerned about the church's spiritual health under his care. Now, those pastors that are interested in a healthy church must preach the word of God. That is how you care for your church. Now, going back to Peter's command to feed my sheep in verse 17, the command also is to tend my sheep in verse 16. The preacher, the teacher, cares for the health and cares for the sheep when he feeds them the word. Now, I want to share with you an analogy that I've only shared with a few people, but it's very important. I want to talk to you about the shepherd. Now, a lot of people have heard that Christ is the shepherd over his church. And I believe that. I think that's true. But a lot of times you often hear that the pastor, the overseer, is the under-shepherd. But any picture that I've ever seen of a shepherd with his flock, there's a shepherd, he may be standing on the hill overlooking his flock. And then what is on the outskirts? What's on the outside? Yeah, a sheepdog, a sheepdog. You don't usually see an under shepherd out there, you see a sheepdog. So here's what I want you to know. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And you know what that makes me? That makes me a sheepdog. I'm a sheepdog, and what is my duty? My duty is to obey my master's voice, the shepherd. My duty is to bring the flock in close, and sometimes that means that I'm on the outside and I'm nipping at the heels of the sheep, bringing them to obedience, but bringing them closer, wise, so that they can hear the voice, the word of the shepherd. I'm a sheepdog. I'm not an under-shepherd, I'm a sheepdog. And my responsibility is also to listen to my shepherd and to bring his flock close together so that they can hear the voice, the commands, the word of the shepherd. Question number three. What is the difference between success and excellence when it comes to being a pastor? Well, now remember, you have to put the pastor in the position of a sheepdog. Success would be the sheepdog achieving his goal for himself. Excellence is achieving his master's goal. Success is lifting up someone's importance in society to please men. Excellence seeks to please God. And that's what you see in a shepherd-sheepdog relationship. That sheepdog is there to please his master. That's excellence. He seeks to please God. Number four, what does it mean to be ready in season and out of season? In verse 2. Now, the pastor does not rely on the size of the crowd or the convenience of the moment. He is to be ready at a moment's notice to bring the truth to whomever God puts in his path. So that would be all of you. God has brought you here. God has put you in the midst here as a body so that you could hear the truth. My job is to be ready in season and out of season. It doesn't matter the size, and it doesn't matter the convenience of the moment. I am to be ready with His Word. Now let me read to you 2 Timothy 3:16 briefly. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now also let me read verse 2 of chapter 4. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now, question number 5 says, explain the difference between reproof, convince, and rebuke. Okay, so reproof means correcting misbehavior or false doctrine or false teaching. Reproof means correcting misbehavior or false doctrine or false teaching. Convince, or in some translation, reproving, has to do with correcting what someone is thinking or doing. What someone is thinking in their mind or doing. And then rebuke directly deals with the heart and someone's sin. Rebuke directly deals with the heart and someone's sin. So the question before you is this: do you love someone enough to tell them that they are misbehaving, that they are locked into false doctrine, false teaching? Do you love someone enough to correct the way that they are thinking or correct what they are doing? Do you love someone enough to deal with their heart? Do you love someone enough to rebuke them in the midst of their sin? Now, a pastor once asked me if I wanted someone to tell me when I was doing something wrong. And if my answer was no, then there lays the problem, because that would mean that I would be refusing accountability. God's Word and the truth of God's Word will hold us accountable only if we are taught it with understanding, if we read it with understanding, and if we apply it to our lives. The truth that you find in God's Word holds you and others accountable. But there must be an avenue of accountability. There must be a path, a way to hold people accountable. Now, I have shared this with many, and this applies to your church life now and going forward. This applies to you now and going forward. We must look to the church and the pastor in the pulpit as the source of biblical teaching. That is the first command, and it must be first. So let me share this with you. You one day may go from this church. You might move. You might have a job change. It happens. And you find yourself in another city looking for a church body to be a part of. So what's the first and foremost thing that you're going to look for? Yes, the preaching of the Word of God coming from that pulpit in that church. So you walk into this church for the very first time. You walk in and you sit down with your family. Men, this is for you, spiritual leader of the home. You sit down and you listen to that pastor preach. And what you hear is the Word of God. Great, man, the Word of God is coming from that pastor. And that's amazing. So what do? You come back the following week. And you come back for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And then after 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, you see that the Word of God is the most important thing. Then what you do is you say, family, we have found a church that preaches the Word of God that is important. It's the first and foremost thing. So let's see what else they have to offer. And depending on the church, they have a lot of programs, they have a few programs, they don't have any programs. But why are you there? You're there because the word of God is preached from the pulpit. That's the most important thing. But let's say you walk into that church that very first day and you sit down and you hear the message, and the message is not the word of God being taught with understanding. What do you do then? You tell your family, we will not be back. This is our last time here. Why? It's a teaching moment. Because the word of God is not the most important thing. So let's say you are you're at this church for 5 years. Let's say you really enjoy it. You've been there a long time. He's preaching the word of God. And then one Sunday, he preaches a stinker. I mean, he preaches a message, not a message that's from the word of God that maybe confronts your sin, not a message that maybe just didn't apply to your life. I mean, he preaches a message that is just soft and fluffy, and there's nothing there from the word of God. What do you do then? I mean, he's been faithfully teaching the word of God for years. Well, here's what you do. You make an appointment with that pastor. You make an appointment with him to see him that week. And you go in and you say, Pastor, I love you. The reason I've been here so long is because you faithfully teach the word of God. But this last Sunday, something happened. And that was not a message from the word of God. And that pastor might say, you know, I've had a really tough week. My mom's been sick, and I didn't have time to study. And you see the humility from this pastor. You have held him accountable. And he might be willing to apologize to the church. You would hold him accountable and say this, Pastor, next time get somebody to fill that pulpit for you, because we are here to hear the word of God taught with understanding. But if that pastor rises up against you and says, you know what, if you don't like my preaching, you know what, there's the door. You can go someplace else. That's the way I'm going to preach. That's my message. If he attacks, if he seems angry, then what that reveals is he will not be held accountable. And you know what your next action is? Your next action is to say, Pastor, you're absolutely right. We will be leaving. Because you will not be held accountable. You have to hold that pastor accountable. There has to be an avenue of accountability. Number six, why would exhort or encouragement come last in verse 2? Why would exhort or encouragement come last in verse 2? Because after a pastor reproves and rebukes the disobedient believer under his care, the faithful pastor should encourage and love that person as they are growing and changing spiritually. Now, I want you to know, sadly, some Christians caught in sin refuse the correction. They refuse the encouragement. And what that does is that actually reveals the path that is leading them away from Christ. Now, remember, repentance and restoration is the goal. That's the goal of accountability. That's the goal of encouragement. After you've held them accountable, you are to love them. You are to encourage them. They may reveal that they're on the wrong path, but you are to remain faithful in your love and encouragement. Number seven, why does a pastor have to be patient or long-suffering? Why does a pastor have to be patient as he corrects and encourages the body of believers? There again in verse 2. Well, here's why. Because Jesus has been just as loving and patient with him as a pastor. There is no reason for a pastor to be short-tempered or angry with the body of believers. There's no reason for him to be hard-hearted and rough with the believers. Why? Because Jesus has been patient with him. And he is to be patient with those that God has put before him. We as pastors also have flesh just like everyone else. And Christ calls us to obedience. And it hurts sometimes when he holds us accountable. But he's patient with us. So we must be patient also with the congregation. Now, you have to understand this. If Christ wasn't patient with us, then he would have already found that we have failed in his eyes and we would have been judged. And that's not the case. He is still patient with us. He is still allowing us to grow spiritually. Every one of us began as a wretched sinner. Every one of us began in the need of a Savior. And we give glory to God because he is patient when it comes to the day of Christ's return. We give glory to God for his patience because we know that in our flesh, as pastors, we know that in our flesh as a congregate, we know that we need God's patience. Verse 3, let me read verse 3 to you. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Now, question number 8 says, explain who they are in verse 3. If they will not endure, tolerate, or hold sound doctrine, then they is referring to unbelievers. Paul is saying that they are in the church. That's what he's saying here. This can be seen in those that refuse to grow spiritually, or their profession of faith is superficial. It's just a statement. There is no deep roots, no depth to their faith. What they want is to feel good and hear good things. So they pick teachers that will feed them that sweet word that tickles their ear. Now, I want you to know something. You send a pastor teaching the Word of God into that kind of environment, and he will not last. Now, some will listen to the Word that he teaches, but some will reveal themselves and will not listen to that Word. They have become used to that feel-good, fluffy, soft message. Number 9. What is a fable? What is a fable? Why would people want to believe anything but God's word? In verse 4, because they don't want to have to turn away from their sin. Instead, they try to make a God, a little g, they make a little g God fit into their world. When you turn from the truth, you make room for the false things. That's fables that Satan would have you embrace. It can come in the form of messages of self-help or positive thinking. It can come in those type of messages. You think that you don't need the correction from God's word little by little. You just need to help yourself. It's all in you, and you need to start just thinking positive. The next thing you know, you don't even need to bring your Bible because there is no teaching from it. That's what a fable is. A fable is something that Satan has you embrace other than God's word. 10. Finally, Paul tells Timothy to be watchful. What does that mean, to be watchful? Paul is saying this: be stable, be unwavering, be steadfast, be diligent. The faithful pastor is not looking for the latest trend, nor does he compromise and try to please men with an ear tickler. Paul says in Galatians 1, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. They are here to preach the word of God only, and we are to remain stable, unwavering, steadfast, and diligent. That's what the faithful pastor does with the word of God. Paul goes on in verse 5 and he reminds Timothy that the afflictions are coming. This is a warning to Timothy that he will suffer evil. Why will you suffer evil? Because when you teach the things of God in a dark place, they will attack. That's just the truth. And then question number 11. Does doing the work of an evangelist mean only telling unbelievers about Jesus? Does doing the work of an evangelist mean only telling unbelievers about Jesus? No, no. Paul is not calling Timothy to the office of an evangelist. He is saying to also do the work of an evangelist. It means that the pastor is to preach, teach, and minister to those who already belong to the Lord. And he is supposed to preach, teach, and minister to those who God places in the midst of the body of believers that need to hear the truth of the gospel. And in essence, you know what he's also doing is he's teaching the congregation that here is the word of God. Now take it out to those. Do the work of an evangelist as well. And that's what he's doing. He's doing the work of an evangelist, sharing the gospel message to those who do not know Christ. That Jesus Christ is the one true Son of God. There's people that don't know that. And that he gave his life for them, and he died on the cross, and he rose on the third day, that they could be saved and their sins be forgiven through faith in him alone. Some of you might have a personal relationship with Jesus, and some of you might want to know more about Jesus and how to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I say this, it's busy today. It's a busy day, but you find me. I'm right here. You find me and you ask me, I want to share Jesus Christ with you. I want to share the truth of a Savior with you. The truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Father, you have blessed us. And Father, may we bless you by holding your word firm, by faithfully preaching the word of God. Father, thank you for gathering us together. Father, may we be faithful in that message. May we be faithful in sharing the gospel truth with those that you put in our path. Father, we give you all the glory for the miraculous things that have happened. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.